My name is Bill Evans, and I'm actually a vegetable researcher at the truck crop station in Crystal Springs. Leroy and I have discussed this concept for a little while now, and he invited me to make some observations and thoughts on floor crops for the solar corridor. So what, again, we pretty much know, the solar corridor is a wide row system that takes advantage of the light coming into the side of the crop, more light going to the lower leaves in the crop so that, in theory, the plant is intercepting more light, creating more photosynthate and producing more yield per crop, per plant. And if that yield is increased enough with that second year of corn, then you can increase your yield on a per acre basis. Rows are pretty wide here in the system. I, too, as one of the other speakers mentioned, I went back and reviewed some of the patent work that was done. And if I'm right, those are the numbers there. That's roughly, 90 centimeters up, almost 140 centimeters apart. No, I'm sorry, 180 centimeters. Singular twin rows is what Doc Leroy has talked about. But the question that I had was with these wide rows is, what is the opportunity to plant between those rows? And is there an opportunity to take advantage of that space? But as a couple of the speakers have alluded to, these floor crops, they can't interfere with the management of the main crop. So then we have all kinds of compatibility considerations which we have to talk about. And I'm going to go through some of those. I'm going to talk a little bit about some possible systems. And then at the end, I'm going to present at least one system that may be a system that we want to consider for a floor crop and corridor crop combination. But we have the equipment issues. We have planters, we have cultivators, and we have harvesting. 30 and 60 works great. You just, every other head goes and harvests the corn, you're good to go. Some of the other configurations may not. But what about cultivation? What about what about some of the other materials that have to go down the row? We saw that narrow rice harvester. That's probably not available easily for some of these other crops that we'll talk about. What about timing of the floor crop? Well, the floor crop, the main crop is the corn. We can't interfere with the corn. We can't reduce the economic viability of the corn. So no matter what we do, whether it be planting, harvesting, other management practices, other timings of the farmer's activities and of the activity of the entire agricultural system surrounding the field, it can't interfere with the corn. So what about alternate season versus same season? We talked a little bit about relay intercropping a few minutes ago. And then we also saw that when you have wheat, it's interfering with the early corn growth, possibly. It could. We're going to have a discussion here in a few minutes on soil, so I won't spend a lot of time on the soils aspects. But no matter what crop you put in there, of course, you got to have this right soil and the right pH in there. For the crops have to be compatible for that, and they have to be compatible on their use of fertilizer. That doesn't mean they have to use the same fertilizer. It means they have to be able to be managed the same. Could we use the floor crop as a scavenger, maybe to hold some in an off season, to hold some of that fertilizer after the previous crop and hold it and make it available during the corn growth? What about tillage? What about row orientation? Some folks have talked about row orientation, east, west, north, south. Then you have seedling management for both the corn and the floor crop. If you have the floor crop growing at the same time as the corn crop, then how are you going to maintain the young growth in both of those? Then of course the corn. Leroy talks about leaf orientation as being critical in the hybrid selection. We saw some of that in some of the light discussions earlier. You have to allow for both crops to grow if they're there at the same time. Climate and weather, we just saw that from Missouri. Climate and weather may not be compatible with the system. And, of course, the floor crop has to have the same climatic and weather requirements as the or at least a compatible set of of climate, weather, and rainfall requirements as the fur crop. So selecting, or as the corn crop, rather. What about pest management? We talked about weeds. Weeds are going to be a big issue. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Weeds are going to be a big issue. Insects could be a big issue. What about diseases? How do you scout the floor crop and scout the other? Interesting. And then I have at the end there, labels and compliance. Sure, atrazine's labeled for corn. Is it labeled for the floor crop? Can you spray it on the corn if the floor crop is in there? I don't know. So as we design the system, we've got to think holistically about it. What about opportunity costs? What about the time managing the floor crop and growing the floor crop that could be used by the farmer for something else or could be used by the whole agricultural system for something else? So there has to be an economic viability to that floor crop to make it work. It either has to contribute to the corn or it has to pull its own weight individually. And that value, however that value is partitioned out in the system, has to exceed the value of the time cost to the grower. What about grower skills? A lot of growers these days in various regions of the country, we talk about Missouri, we talk about Iowa or something like that, but many growers are still monocrop, single crop growers, and they don't have any experience with some of these odd crops. Now I'll talk about that in a couple minutes here, some of the odd crops that someone might not have an experience with. But they're going to need training, and the co-op guys are going to need training and all of that stuff. And it may require more hours per hectare to manage a system like this than it would be just to manage a monocrop system. So the value has to be there. And if we can get that, if we can get hybrids that'll maintain that yield, that'll keep that, that'll increase or maintain that corn yield, then it's possible that we can have the value in there of having a floor crop in there. What about scale? Corn's a huge crop. I'm a vegetable guy. A huge crop of tomatoes is 100 or 200 acres of tomatoes. That's a tiny cornfield in many places. It's not a big cornfield. And certainly when you look at millions of acres of corn versus tens of thousands of acres or even less than that of many of the odd floor crops, that's a consideration we have to have. And then there's infrastructure. If we're bringing in wheat into a local system where wheat is already processed in the locality of question, that works great. The elevators can handle it. There's harvesting equipment. There's planting equipment. There's seed dealers that know the materials. All of that stuff is in place. If I brought in something different, then you're going to have the local ag support system to be able to be compatible with that. And that's an issue. So candidate floor crops. Well, we could go into a no-till situation and plant perennials. We could go in and plant a perennial forage in there and then manage the rows and manage to inject fertilizer in those rows. That's conceivable. That's possible. There's, of course, also all kinds of annuals that you could do. There's other row crops. We saw the wheat. We saw soybeans. Those are all possible. What else might be in there? Does canola work in this system? I don't know. I'm a veggie guy, again. So I don't know. It's possible. What about cover crops? Could we go in there and just plant a cover crop? Could we go in there and just plant, and not just a cover crop, but a cover crop? Could we go in there and plant a cover crop that would be managed as a cover crop simply to provide some kind of benefit to the corn system? What about a biofuel crop? Is there a biofuel crop that exists that could contribute added value to this system and not interfere with corn or be compatible with the corn system? We got 60 inches in there. Could we plant 30 inches of? And with that, you wouldn't necessarily have to have a miscanthus or something that's producing, I don't know how many megagrams miscanthus produces per acre, to be honest, but you wouldn't necessarily have to have that for it to add value to this system. If you could grow an off-season biofuel crop that was done in early spring for some reason, that could be fermented or something early, and get it out before the corn needed those resources, that would be golden. Again, I'm a veggie guy, though, but this is an opportunity that someone might want to explore for a wide row system like this. What about other industrial crops? What about nutraceutical crops? What about odd oil crops or odd extractable crops of some sort, small crops? But again, you get into an issue of scale there. And that's why I said industrial, because there are some industrial crops that could scale at least regionally or locally with the corn to provide some opportunities there. And then I had to throw vegetables in there because I'm a veggie guy. And I thought about vegetables a lot in this system, but most of them aren't scalable. That's the problem with vegetables. Most of them aren't scalable. But if I could apply the solar corridor concept to sweet corn and find sweet corns that had that flex, then I can grow vegetables underneath my sweet corn, and I might find a benefit there. It doesn't help the agronomic guys at all, though. I'm sorry, guys. It doesn't help the agronomic guys at all. So how can these floor crops add value to the system? They could facilitate performance of the corridor crop. In most cases, this is corn that we're talking about as the base corridor crop. They may not enhance the corridor crop, but they could enhance the economic return by contributing in another manner. Or they could, as we talked about, they could provide some reasonable economic benefit themselves. Certainly we don't want them to reduce the value of the system. So in general, what would be some thoughts for good floor crops? I'm all about the timing on this stuff. I don't know that we can do something that is really well overlapped with the corn and take advantage of it. I'm thinking that we have to find the floor crops that take advantage of the resources when the corn doesn't need them, whether that be the light. Water is going to be critical in these systems since a lot of this is dry land. Weed management was an issue too, and fertilizer use is going to be an issue, and fertilizer availability is going to be an issue. So then I thought about winter cover crops and overwintering industrial crops and, of course, my vegetables. But ecologically, I wondered, can any of these crops be grown together such that they all yield more than when they're growing separately? That's very hard to find in nature. I was doing some ecological reading in preparation for this, and there's almost no example of bringing two organisms together in nature and having the yield increase for both of them. That's almost impossible. But if we look at the intercropping model, which a couple of folks have talked about today, we see that that solar corridors have a similar, they overlap a lot with intercropping systems. The solar corridor is taking advantage of the genetics and the geometry to permit the higher yields of wide rows than traditional or narrow row spacings, in theory. In intercropping, we're going to accept in an intercrop system, that's where we're growing two crops simultaneously in different parts of, in close proximity in the field, right? So we're going to accept a lower yield of crop A and a lower yield of crop B to get the higher yield of the combination of A and B. And what they use in intercropping research to describe that is land equivalent ratio. So let's say we have a 50-50 row with corn and beans, and every other row is corn and beans. Well, instead of the corn yielding only 50% of the yield that it has in a full monoculture, let's say it yields 55% or 60%. And the beans do the same thing. Well, let's say it's 60 and 60. Then your LER is going to be roughly 1.2. So your yields are lower. But in the case of the solar corridor, with the certain hybrids, been able to achieve a higher than 1.0 yield on those wide rows. So anything that we could get out of that middle would make that LER go above 1 in this system. If we can maintain and find hybrids that perform equal or better in the wide row systems for the corn crop. If the floor crop interferes with the corn, if it interferes with the corn, but it contributes more to the system than it interferes with it, then our economic return would be greater than one, and it might still be a viable system. It might still be a viable system. So we want the LER to be greater than one for corn if we can do it. If we consider a standard monocrop corn at one. If we can enhance that, then we can. So here's what I thought about after all of that. After all of that, I'm thinking that at least to start, that these fall-sown legumes were mixed cover crops in the fall may be a good place to start looking at this. Maybe one that fits a lot of systems and could be advantageous. What I would propose is that we try and prepare a field for corn in it. This is for areas where there's some fall prep for the corn. That we prep it no-till or tilled as we would getting ready for the corn in the fall. Fall fertilizer applications that would be standard for the area would be applied as standard to this corn field to be planted in the solar corridor method. And then you'd manage your spring nitrogen applications normally as you would later in the system. I'm trying not to change the corn system too much. We're going to do the solar corridor, but we're not going to change the agronomic practices for the corn too much. Then, after we get the fertilizer in place and we've arranged the rows, whether they're up on, whether there is a raised bed system or a flat system, we've got that all in place. Then we're going to broadcast and incorporate or broadcast our legume or our mixed legume monocot cover crop over the entire area to be planted. Then we come through when the cover crop is relatively small. Some work I've done in vegetables, 30 to 60 days after seeding works really well for establishing vegetables. I've got some data on using cover crops in vegetables that show that 30 to 60 days afterwards, if I come through and I spray a strip for planting my seeds in the spring, that works really well. So then you spray that. Then you'd come through in the spring and you'd sow that corn right into that sprayed strip. And the rest of it would still be your cover. Now, your cover is either going to be one that dies naturally in the spring when it warms up, or you'd have to have a cover that you could kill relatively easily, either at the time of sowing or just after the time of sowing. If you let it grow, it's going to use water, it's going to use resources. If it has if the legume is in there, if we use a legume in here, of course, when we kill it, it's going to start liberating some of that nitrogen, and that's going to become available to the corn. If we can get the timing of the killing of the legume correct so that we minimize the interference with the corn for water and maximize the availability of nitrogen for when the corn needs it. Of course, the corn needs more nitrogen a little later in the season than it does right at the beginning. So there's an issue there that would have to be worked out. But that's the theory, that's the thought that I came up with. And the benefits of such a system, we'd get a soil cover in there. So we were talking a few minutes ago about erosion. That cover crop is going to reduce that erosion. We're going to get the nitrogen fixation from the legume. And it's possible that if we chose the right cover crop and we had the right system, it's possible that you could harvest that actually for forage or feed before the corn emerged in the spring or in such a way. The more I think about it, it's going to be very hard to harvest anything like that after the corn emerges without interfering with the corn, and that's a problem. But it's possible, and then you get your economic return higher possibly there. So concerns, got to develop a system that's going to not interfere with the spring planting. When you plant a cover crop on there, your soil is going to be cooler than it would be in an open soil situation. So your selection of corn and your planting of the corn, you have to be careful with that. It's possible that the cover crop is going to remove soil moisture too much if it's not selected right. It's possible if there's not a legume in the system or there's not enough of a legume in the system that the decomposition of the cover crop is going to tie up nitrogen, require a little more nitrogen fertilizer in your corn system. It's also possible that your cover crop is going to turn into an insect nursery, and some of your insects are going to be living in that, and when you kill that cover crop, they're going to be liberated, and they're going to be looking for someplace else to eat. So it may be that you need to do a scouting and an insect control for leafhoppers or whatever else might be in that cover, aphids, all kinds of stuff. And then there's possibility that there's going to be significant labor and management issues with this. But again, if it's selected right for the locality and for the grower expertise and knowledge and for the markets and things, that may not be an issue. You know, think about vegetables for smaller plantings, and my sweet corn, and I think there may be a role in this for the biofuels and the industrial crops. I'm just not enough of an expert on those things to figure out which one of those many dozens of crops might fit in that system. But I think it's one that we should talk about. Maybe we can talk about that during the panel discussion. So the floor of the solar quarter, it doesn't have to stay empty, I don't think. If we're going to do this, we might as well use, that's a pretty wide spacing we have there, and there's probably a system that we can come up with that doesn't complicate the system too much that can allow us to have a profitable crop in there or a suitable and a valuable crop in there. But it'll depend on all the factors that go into managing any agricultural system and all kinds of site-specific factors. So. That is all that I had on that. Let me check and see. I'm not sure whether we have any time right now. Actually, we don't have any time for questions, so we'll move on to our next speaker. And this is our final speaker before our panel. Again, we have a panel after this. Robert Kramer is going to speak on soil quality and the solar corridor crop system.